Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Happy Tuesday to you. Spring is coming. Can you feel it? I can feel it. I'm excited. Well, I'm looking forward to today's show. You know, have you ever noticed how easy it is to get bogged down in those lists and rules when it comes to our faith, when we kind of reduce it to an ought to and a should do? We talk about that a lot in the show, that really this intimate walk of faith with the Lord is really a get-to, but we can so default to those ought-tos and should-dos and make it a kind of a list of rules and things we should do to the point where we get so weighed down by these obligations, we forget that it really, at the end of the day, is all about an intimate fellowship with the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about today, what it means to seek first the kingdom of God, how a God-first life really uncomplicates our life in the most beautiful way. In a moment, I'll bring on Stovall Weems. He's got a new book, and it's titled The God-First Life, Uncomplicate Your Life God's Way. Looking forward to this conversation. So in the meantime, I want you to think about this question. What does it mean to put God first, and how does that bring order to your life? What does it mean to put God first, and how does that putting God first actually bring order to your life? I'll get him on in just a moment, but I want to remind you, we are in week 4 of our Commit to Live Fit 40-day journey. We're kind of pairing this up with the Lenten journey. So instead of like maybe giving up chocolate for 40 days, we're asking you to engage on even a deeper level, both physically and spiritually. This is week 4. So week 1, we talked about the water of God's word and upping your intake of water. And week 2, we talked about stretching in the morning and at night, and then stretching your faith and activating your faith, engaging with God on a deeper level where you kind of keep your ear bent towards heaven. You listen for what he tells you to do, and then you do what he tells you to do. Week 3 was putting a higher priority on rest. So giving yourself 7 to 9 hours each night of that bedtime routine where you shut down maybe an hour before you go to bed and you read, you pray, maybe you stretch, and then you give yourself a good 8 hours of rest. And then you cultivate a heart at rest. When you see yourself getting anxious, you remind yourself that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow. So just cultivating a heart at rest because you belong to God. Now this week we're talking about the heart, guarding your heart and working your heart. So if you've got questions, if you've not signed up, you can sign up for free at our website, myfaithradio.com. We've got 4,000 of you doing this journey, and it's been absolutely amazing. And so looking forward to just hearing from you what God's been speaking to you as you engage in this journey on a deeper level. All right, let me introduce you to our guests. We'll get this conversation about the God-first life. We'll get this started. Stovall Weems is the founder and lead pastor of Celebration Church in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a diverse, growing, multi-site church with more than 12,000 people in weekly attendance. His ministry focuses on building the local church, reaching people with the gospel, and developing passionate followers of Christ. He and his wife, Carrie, have 3 children, Kaylin, Stovey, and Annabelle, and you can find him online at celebration.org. Stovall, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us today.
Thanks, Susie. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, we love starting out our conversations talking scripture, and you chose Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Love for you to talk about that verse and what it means to you.
Well, that's a very significant verse in my life. You know, when I first came to Christ about 24 years ago when I was in college, you know, I was struggling with some things. There were things that I didn't understand, and I was really having trouble kind of practically living out my relationship with Jesus. And I was walking one day, and I had read Matthew 6:33 earlier that day in my devotions, and it was like the Holy Spirit prompted my heart and quickened that verse to me, Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. And it was in a time when I was really trying to figure a lot of things out. And so it was just one of those moments. It just seemed so simple and practical that if I could just learn to put God first, I didn't have to understand everything. I didn't have to, you know how everything was going to turn out. If I could just really learn how to put God first, it seemed a real simple and sustainable way to walk with Jesus. And so, you know, now I'm a pastor of Celebration Church. Our mission statement here at the church is leading people to experience a God-first life, and that kind of God-first theme is everywhere in our church and in my life personally. I've been unpacking that one scripture for the last 24 years, and that's really what the book is about. It's about putting God first and living a God-first life and how to uncomplicate your life by having that simple, sustainable touch point in your daily walk with Jesus.
Well, I so appreciate that. I love how the Word of God is so rich and deep that you can land on a verse and let it get in you for a year and then 10 years and then 20 years, and it comes to mean more and more as it's like a seed in your soul that all of a sudden produces a harvest of righteousness, and your book is just evidence of that. I'd love to back up in your story a little bit. I just loved how you'd said that, well, this part, of course, you know, you said you were a partier, but you had what I loved is that you have an aunt who prayed for you. So you were in the party scene, but you had an aunt who prayed for you. Pick up your story from that point and talk about your transformation story.
Yeah, you know, so I was like a lot of young guys, young people, that don't have God in their life. You know, I was just kind of living day to day and partying and doing the club scene. I was actually a bouncer at a bar, and I had an aunt that was really praying for me, and she had been praying for me, you know, since I was a young boy. And even though on the outside, you know, I looked really far from God, and I was living that crazy life, on the inside, God was really dealing with me. And so, to make a long story short, one night, just by myself, I knew that serving Jesus was what I needed to do, and that, you know, there had to be something more to life than I was experiencing. And so I accepted Christ, and my life has obviously never been the same. And I always like to use that story and just remind, you know, parents out there and moms and those praying for loved ones that, you know, no matter what it looks like on the outside, you keep praying for that loved one and know that God is doing something on the inside, and there's going to come a day when they surrender their lives to Christ.
Indeed, in Jesus' name. I love, too, how honest you are. You said on one hand you'd experienced God in his presence as this college kid, but on the other hand you had some tough questions, and I appreciate it. I'm going to read these because I think people who are living right now, they're believers, and they don't want to admit maybe that they have some of these questions. And you wrote, what's God's plan for my future? Do I have to ask forgiveness every time I sin? Why does God tolerate so much evil in the world? Is Jesus really the only way to heaven? So you found him as your Savior, but you still had some real legitimate questions. Stovall, how did you find the answers to these questions?
Well, that was the power of that God first scripture, Matthew 6:33, is that I didn't have the answers yet, but I was struggling with all those things. And so when God gave me that scripture, it was like that piece of, you know what, I don't have to know all these things now, but as I continue to put God first, eventually God will show me those things. You know, everything that you need will be added unto you. So it brought me to this real place of, look, I'm just going to trust God, and he's going to bring the answers to these questions and the solutions to these different circumstances going on in my life eventually. And he did, and I've continued to live by that scripture and that principle to this day.
So good. Talking to Stovall Weems today, he's got a brand new book out titled The God First Life, Uncomplicate Your Life, God's Way. I've got three copies to give away if you've got a question about what it means to put God first. I'm only going to open the phone lines probably a couple times throughout the show to give Stovall as much time as possible. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Stovall, you list three game changers that reveal God, that God reveals in the gospel, and I'd love to take them one at a time. You say God has a way for our lives. We don't have to carry the weight of our life alone, and God's way is better than ours. So let's start with this. God has a way for our life. In other words, he's interested in every detail of our lives. Unpack that one for us.
Yeah, so this is another thing that was like just a real game changer in my walk with Jesus. You know, I, like a lot of people, kind of looked at life that, you know, the issues or the challenges that I had The solution was an issue of need. You know, I need more money. I need a better whatever. I need a greater this, a better that, a more that, a different relationship. And I think a lot of people go through life, and even Christians, and they look at their lives, the lack, the dysfunction, the challenges, and they think it's an issue of need. I need a better this. I need more of that. But really in Matthew 6:33, Jesus teaches us it's not an issue of need. It's an issue of order. That if we will understand the power of divine order, that the needs will take care of themselves. And that's what he's preaching there in Matthew 6. In that context, he's telling his followers, look, you know, you don't have to worry about this and want more of that, you know, how much money you're going to make, what you're going to wear, where you're going, you know, you don't, your life is not just about need. If you will understand that fulfilled, successful life, it's really an issue of order. When order is restored, blessing is released. And I feel like that so many times people are constantly focused on trying to get more. They're focused on, you know, trying to get blessed when blessings are a byproduct of just having the right order in your life.
That is just so true. When God is the source, we can actually enjoy those gifts. As you say in the book, it's not like there's anything wrong with wanting to get in a better financial situation in your family or to hone your craft or your skill. Nothing wrong, but that's not the end all. In fact, you referenced Tom Brady in an interview that in here he's won or been in at least 3 Super Bowls. Talk about even his reflection after being in several Super Bowls that still something was missing for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's just the condition of the human heart. I mean, the human heart is on a search until it finds what it was made for and created for, and that's a relationship with God and worshiping God. And so that with Matthew 6:33, people understanding that life will never make sense and life will never be fulfilled until this issue of order is settled. And it's just like you said, Susie, you know, Jesus didn't say don't seek money and don't seek things. He just said don't seek them first. And there's something about when God is truly first and when that order is established, order is restored, blessing is released, and then all of a sudden the things, even though we might be seeking those things, they don't have the hold that they have on us when things are out of order.
So good. So first, that first game-changing perspective is God has a way for our lives. The second one is we don't have to carry the weight of our life alone. And you write, life is challenging. The cares of your life are heavy, but God doesn't want you to carry them alone. He wants to do the heavy lifting. So say more about that.
Yeah, I think once again, you know, having the right view that, you know, the Christian life is not about trying to get more from God. It's really about just trying to align ourselves with what God already has for us. You know, the weight is on Him, the burden and everything else. That's God's. He just wants us to get into alignment with Him, kind of how Jesus taught us to pray. You know, He said, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When our earth gets in alignment with God's heaven, then there's a freedom there. There's a peace there. As you were saying earlier in your show, our walk with God is a want to. It's not a have to. And that's the way the Christian life is supposed to be experienced. You know, it's supposed to be a life of freedom. And once again, freedom is a byproduct of order.
So good. Okay, the next one, third one, God's way is better than ours. And I love this. You say God's way is perfect, refreshing, trustworthy, and right. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think, once again, you know, understanding that if God's word is true and God's word is going to do what it says and what Jesus said is truth, well, Jesus said if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then everything that we need will be added unto us. That means that you know, the plans that God has for me, what He has for my family, what He has for me career-wise, whatever that is, that's going to be the best. It's going to be the best way. It's going to be the most fulfilled way, even if, you know, it's not what I necessarily want or think up front. If I can just learn to trust God that he knows best, then I can know wherever I end up that that is God's best way for me.
Well, you open the book, Stovall, by describing a billboard that your church rented out. I'd love for you to tell the story of that billboard, what it said, and kind of the outcome of that promotion.
Oh, I don't know, Susie. That was, you know, the church was young, and you know, when you're a church planner, you just try to do anything to reach people, you know, get people in the doors. And so we had this idea of, you know, just putting a billboard up on the interstate and putting one of these God first principles out there, which is, you know, your life, God's way. And we were shocked by the result that it had. And it really made a huge impact on people. It just got them thinking about, yeah, you know, it's my life, but what about doing my life God's way?
And it brought people to church, and they started to ask some questions.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It brought them to church, and, you know, it was a real kind of different-looking billboard. And so I think people really connected with it. You know, I'm kind of a regular kind of a guy, so I think they kind of connected with that. And then they connected with my story. I feel like, you know, I need things simple. I didn't really grow up in a – I definitely didn't grow up in a church-centered home, I mean, or a God-centered home. We went to church, you know, maybe on Easter and Christmas and a few other times. But when I came to Christ coming out of the clubs, man, you know, I wasn't into the religious thing or anything like that. I wanted to know Jesus, and then I wanted the Bible to work for my life. And so, you know, the God-first life is – that's – where God led me, and it's worked for me. It's worked for thousands of others in our church, and I know that it'll work for everyone else.
Because it is Scripture. In fact, let's talk about the three promises associated with putting God first. You break it down like this: a new family, a new life, a new freedom. So explain to that person listening, they're in Christ, and they don't realize even what it means as that they have a position as a member of God's family. Explain what it means to be in God's family.
Yeah, so I think, you know, most Christians would understand, you know, that, you know, there's the church. There's the universal church of Jesus Christ. You know, we're his body. We're all the church. And when we accept Jesus, we have, you know, that we have that position in Christ. We're a positional member of his family. Our sins are forgiven. We're secure in Christ. We're on our way to heaven. However, many people don't understand that God doesn't want us just to have a, you know, positional place in his family, but also a functional place in his family. And I think that this is crucial to people understanding how to put God first in a God first life. And I like to say that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God, obviously, that's wherever the rule and reign of Jesus is established. But God's really talking about a family there. So when you come, when you receive Jesus, you understand that God's family is now your primary family. God as your father is now your primary father. Now, of course, we love our fathers and our natural families, and as we put God first, we can actually love our natural families better and be a better minister to them. However, understanding that God's family is now your primary family, and so what that will do for people is, if you think about your own family, you know, every family has a culture, every family has traditions, every family, especially when kids are in the house, there's rules and there's boundaries, and, you know, there's different things like that. There's patterns of behavior where every member of the family kind of fulfills their role so that the family is functional and healthy. Well, it's the same thing in God's family, and that's why the next thing is, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. Understand that you know, his family is now your primary family, and his righteousness, or his right way of doing things. And that's not rules. It's like you were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's unfortunate that, you know, so many people look at Christianity, or maybe their walk gets dry and it kind of becomes more of a should or ought to, or kind of a rules thing. But really, that word righteousness, it means patterns of behavior. And so just like in your own family, you know, there are patterns of behavior, some good, and because we're human and natural families, some not so good. And so when we come into God's family, we learn those patterns of behavior where we can function in a healthy way and where God is first. And, of course, I talk about those patterns in the book. You know, there's worship, there's community, there's giving, there's serving, there's these certain patterns of behavior for all of his family that put us in a functioning position where God is truly first.
So we've got this new family. So we're part of a family. We've got a new life. And we all have just a call and a role in how we function, and we will function in unity and community. Say a word about the treasure within as a new life, the Spirit of the living God within us, because we don't say enough about that, but that's the miracle of God in us that transforms us from the inside out.
Yes, it's just huge. I mean, you know, understanding that you know, it's Christ in you, that God is on the inside of you. You know, Corinthians says that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That word there in the Greek, it actually means of the same substance. To realize that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you, and that we have been given, past tense, have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, Peter says, that we have been created in true righteousness and true holiness. So once again, the Christian life is not about trying to get more and more. It's really learning how to activate what God gave you the first day you accepted Jesus and you received the Holy Spirit. And the way that that's properly activated is, once again, back to Matthew 6:33, is this issue of order. That order is so powerful, and I could get into a lot of things biblically about that, but just understanding how God is a God of order, and that God first, when order is restored, blessing is released. You don't have to try for it. You don't have to earn for it. You don't have to work for it. It just happens. It's a byproduct, and that's a beautiful, beautiful blessing of the Holy Spirit being on the inside of us.
We just have about a minute before we have to take a break, but I would love for you to say a word, and we can pick it up on the other side. But, you know, so you've got a new family, a new life, and a new freedom. And explain about the true possibility of freedom because of Christ in us. We don't have to live in constant reaction and bondage to our old sins and our old stuff.
Yes, you know, it's you know, once again, you know, understanding that, you know, your position in God's family, it's permanent. All of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And so now, you know, that frees you up so that you can change, so that you can overcome. And I always like to say that, you know, there's that scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so when God is first, and now the Holy Spirit has free reign in our lives, liberty is a byproduct. And even though we have some unhealthy things that we have to work through, once again, think about it from this, we all pick up these unhealthy patterns. The Bible's word for that is iniquity. These are unhealthy, they sinful patterns or wrong ways of thinking that we get mostly from our upbringing, from our natural families. It's those unhealthy patterns. And so as we adopt God's healthy patterns, his righteousness, seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, through the grace of God, God replaces our unhealthy patterns with his healthy patterns, and all of a sudden we get to walk in freedom.
Talking to Stovall Weems. He's a pastor and author. Brand new book called The God First Life, Uncomplicate Your Life God's Way. So here's my question for you. How has God brought order to your life as you've put him first? What's changed since you put God first in your life? Chime into the conversation, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We're going to talk about happiness and how God feels about you being happy. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You give me much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to pastor and author Stovall Weems today about his new book, The God First Life, Uncomplicate Your Life God's Way. I want to say we do have Stovall on a conference call, so there's a slight delay and a little bit of trick with audio quality, but hang in there with us because what we're talking about is so important. It is true. He gives us a new name. He takes our mourning and he turns it into dancing. He turns our lives inside out, upside down, heals us and restores us in every way and empowers us to live a life that's otherworldly and totally disproportionate to who we are. I mean, the miracle of Christ in us, I don't think we're even going to fully understand till we see Jesus face to face. But, you know, it's amazing. Many, many Christians are living today. They're saved, but they're not free. They're living in constant reaction to their stuff because they really don't know the treasure that they possess within and what it means when life is out of order. And so there is sort of a rule of law, isn't there, Stovall? Well, we don't put God first. Even as believers, we experience the same mess as the rest of the world does.
Yes, exactly. You know, and that, Susie, that's what I'm hoping with this book. You know, I'm hoping that it really helps believers. And it's a great book for people that aren't believers and are just interested, you know, in Jesus and in what a relationship with him is all about. But I really hope it gives them like some real practical legs and how they truly can put God first and just kind of a different way of viewing things that could bring them into a freshness in their relationship with God.
I want to talk about happiness because I feel like you bring a different perspective. Different perspective than we often hear. And here's the quote you wrote. I'm convinced that in your search for happiness, God is not your fiercest opponent, but your greatest ally. But you say happiness isn't about more, better, greater, which you mentioned earlier in the show. It's about order. But talk about God's perspective on happiness, because we often hear, oh, he doesn't really care if you're happy. He wants you holy. But you're saying he wants you holy, but he does care about your happiness, too. Say more about that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, of course God wants you happy. I mean, happiness or joy, you know, in your presence is fullness of joy. Now, you know, people have different definitions of what happiness is, but I think the common denominator is we could call it, you know, a life of fulfillment, contentment, joy, you know, whatever language you want to use around it, but of course God wants you fulfilled and content and joyful. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have a joy, a contentment, a happiness in our lives, then we're not going to be strong in our walk with God. You know, it's like, you know, I used to hear people say the same thing that you were talking about, Susie. You know, God, he doesn't care if you're happy. He wants you holy. You know, that's kind of a cute play on words and all that, but it's really just, it's not true. It's not true. If you're holy, you're going to be happy. And then the other thing is, you know, I always used to hear, you know, don't worry about your feelings. Feelings aren't important. You know, we walk by faith and, you know, just forget about all your feelings and all that. Well, yes, absolutely. We walk by faith. We're not led by our feelings. A mark of Christian maturity is that we walk by faith regardless of how we feel. However, feelings are important. You know, we need to remember that we're made in the image of God, and God made us with emotions. And there are several things in the Bible that are to be experienced in our emotions. And so if you don't have a healthy emotional well-being with happiness and contentment, you know, you're not going to be a good witness for Jesus. I always like to say it this way, you know, if you're not happy for God, you're not going to make anybody else happy in God.
Okay, so talk to that Christian listening today, Stovall, who is a believer, who loves Jesus, but whose life is marked by perpetual anxiety. Because you say in the book that that's a sure sign that something is out of order in your life. How can they begin to kind of take some inventory to identify something's out of order here? What is it?
Okay, so the first thing is just what you said. Let's instead of having our mind on, I need a more this, a better this, or a greater that, let's back up and let's say, okay, if God's going to provide all of my needs, if he's going to give me all these things, if I seek first his kingdom, is there an order issue here? And so what I would say is this, and here's kind of how I unpack it in the book. It's so important that our walk with God and these God-first patterns, that we understand that these are decisions to be made one time and manage for the rest of our life. Too many believers, at least in my experience as a pastor and walking with God for 24 years now, too many believers, it's like they look at their relationship with God and the things of God as like choices, like, you know, we hear that language, you know, make healthy choices or make a good choice. But it's kind of like they almost look at those things as options. In other words, that, you know, we're to choose this or choose that instead of, no, I'm going to make a decision one time and I will never re-decide again. I will make this one time and I will manage it for the rest of my life. You know, think about in the natural world, you don't re-decide every morning if you're going to go to work. You know, you're going to go to work. You took that job, and unless you're sick or out of town or whatever, you're going to go to work. You don't re-decide that every morning. You know, you don't re-decide, you know, am I going to eat today? Am I going to have a glass of water today? These are, you know, we've already decided we're going to do these things. We just manage these lifestyles or decisions. So it's the same thing when we get into these healthy patterns. So when we talk about, you know, as you were talking about with your program that you guys got going on, which sounds really fantastic, you know, like the Word of God, you know, having a time of devotion. I don't re-decide every morning if I'm going to have a quiet time with God. I made that decision one time. That's a God-first decision, and I just manage that decision for the rest of my life. I don't re-decide every Sunday if I'm going to go to church. You know, I don't, based on if it's convenient or raining or whatever, I don't re-decide about worship and serving and being in community. Or giving, for that matter. Those were one-time decisions that I just managed for the rest of my life. Do I miss Devos? Absolutely. But it's the exception. It's not the norm. You know, do I miss this or none of us are perfect? Absolutely. But that's the exception, not the norm. And so what I see a lot, unfortunately, in people that have a walk with Christ, they've never taken on this God-first attitude of, I'm not choosing this stuff on a daily basis. This is a one-time decision that I'm going to decide one time, and I'm just managing this decision for the rest of my life. And by the way, as you were talking about, I think today or the theme is the heart. This is another important principle in guarding your heart. You know, it's these one-time decisions and boundaries and patterns. You make those decisions one time. You manage them for the rest of your life. It really uncomplicates your life and gets things very simple, sustainable, and more consistent.
So when we're saying, when scripture reads, choose this day whom you will serve, it's basically saying, make this decision here and now that you're going to be walking with God. And then from there, the choices you make are basically reinforcing that decision. Excuse me. I really like that because I think about if it's up for grabs every single day, boy, that feels like it's not rooted very deeply in your convictions, you know?
Exactly. And that's not a God-first life. You know, I mean, that this is such an important principle of order. These one-time decisions, there's not a lot of them, but there are a few crucial God-first decisions that you make. It simplifies your life. You're not re-deciding. And then, like you're saying, of course, you know, we surrender our lives to the afresh to the Lord. Afresh to the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. Afresh to the Lord in the morning and things like that. But, man, it's so crucial for people to really begin to, you know, go to the next level in their walk with God and get some consistency and some sustainability in their growth.
Yeah, that's just so powerful. I mean, you think about that. Let's say you're somebody who doesn't tithe. I know the majority of Christians don't tithe. I think the percentage I last read was something like 7% of Christians bring in a 10% tithe, and I don't know, something like 17% bring in something. But you think about that, 80% don't give anything. So maybe the goal is, I'm making a decision as Scripture calls me to, and you start, and then you reinforce it with your daily choices. I think a revival would break out if we just set our hearts on our true north, you know?
It would. It's like that. Like, I don't even think about tithing. It's just, I made that decision way back in college, and you know, now I pray about what I give over and above the tithe, but I cannot imagine the stress of, you know, do I tithe or not tithe, and, you know, knowing what the Bible says. Look, here's what I know. When order's restored, blessing is released, and I believe that Matthew 6:33 is the word of God, and I'm going to put God first in my finances, and man, that simplifies my life, and it releases blessing in my life.
Mm-hmm. And that really puts you in a position then to easily distinguish, I think, the difference between the urgent and the important. Because if you're playing whack-a-mole and all of these things are up for grabs all the time and you're really led by the culture and your temptations, and you are playing whack-a-mole, and suddenly you get into crisis management, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's so good, Susie, what you said. Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing of our culture. You know, it's so much, you know, it's on demand and it's fast this and it's all these different things. And, man, when it comes to God, it's like, no, we've got to establish some order here. And there are so many believers that are frustrated. And like you're saying, they have a lot of anxiety. They have a lot of worry. And it really is. It's an issue of order.
Okay, and you also say that the more that we're fulfilled in Jesus, the more we're compelled to function for Jesus. That is so good. And so what do you say to the person who, for whatever reason, feels unfulfilled in their walk of faith?
You know, I would say if he would say, you know, Stovall, you know, I really feel like I'm putting God first, and, you know, I understand this. And once again, this is a lifestyle. This is a decision. No one is perfect, but he's unfulfilled. I mean, there could be a couple of things there. You know, no one knows the condition of the human heart. But I will say, except for God, but I will say this, Susie. I feel like, you know, we all come from our own experiences. You know, we come from how we meet Jesus and what our experience has been with Jesus. And here's what I know. When I surrendered my life to Christ and Jesus filled my life and I experienced his love, I was just so grateful to be saved. I was so thankful that he had mercy on me. And, you know, I can still remember, like, realizing, wow, Jesus is real and eternity's real, and I can't believe I've been missing out on this, and I can't believe that I'm forgiven and saved and have eternal life. Like, since that day, my walk with God, I've just been trying to reciprocate back thanksgiving to him in just a small way for the immense love that he poured out on me and continues to pour out on me. And so, you know, I think people that have had an experience with God, I think that they experience that too, to some degree. So it's hard for me to know what's really going on in the heart of someone who says that, you know, they've truly surrendered to Jesus and are living a God-first life, but they're not fulfilled. I think what I would say was I would wonder if they've really had that kind of experience with God. I would never question their salvation or their relationship with God, but have they had that experience with God where they've experienced the love of Jesus?
Yeah, because once you've experienced that, it's like you've tasted something that you know nothing else compares to. And I know for me, whenever I get into the mode, and I've said this on the show many times, but when things start to feel like ought to and should do, I ought to pray more, I should do, ought to, I always know that it's because I've lost sight of the love of God. And you think of the church in Ephesus that's mentioned in Revelations. It's like, you know, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm getting over cold. You know, and it talks about you've worked hard and you've guarded your doctrine, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love. And there's so much to getting back into the love of God so that we can live in response to the love, because he loved us first while we were yet sinners. And it's not that we loved him, it's that he loved us. I'd love for you to say a word about that, because for me, that's what fans my flame. When I start to strive, I come back and go, no, he loved me first. And then I live in response to that, and it's like breathing to me.
Yeah, and that's the motivator, you know, for all holiness and deepening our walk with God is the realization of God's love for us. You know, I say it this way, you can't love God more by trying to love God more. You can't love God more by you know, obeying different things in the Bible or whatever. The way that you love God more is having a greater revelation of who Jesus is and how he loved you first. That's the greatest motivator for Christian growth and holiness and any type of spiritual development like that. And, you know, I think if we could just understand a fraction of the grace of God and how much he loves us, regardless of our performance, man, I think that it would just be a massive catalyst for people to live a free God-first life.
I totally agree. In fact, you came to a place where you realized that you didn't need to, quote-unquote, get more of God. You just needed to understand the treasure he'd already given you, and you kind of touched on that. But talk about how a person does that, because you hear language and even, you know, people cheering you on to go get more of God. Now, the truth is we draw near, he draws near to us, but we possess a treasure within, and there's something about activating the truth of that that changes everything. So talk about the difference of getting more of God versus understanding the treasure that he's already given you.
Yeah, and I think it's important. You know, you might hear a pastor or a minister or someone, hey, let's get more of God. I mean, it's a language thing there. You're right. We're drawing near to God or pressing in to God. But, you know, the understanding that, man, God is not, you know, afar off or God is you know, is the blessings of God are not something that I need to try to attain to, but this, you know, the mystery of the faith. I mean, everything that we could possibly ever need, we already have in Christ on the inside of us. You know, as Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it's all about learning how to activate what God gave all of us who have received Jesus, you know, gave us the very first day that we accepted Christ. And once you realize, you know, that God's not in and out, you know, he's not, you know, the Holy Spirit, yes, the Holy Spirit can fall. You know, yes, we can get in God's presence and there's a greater degree, but just understanding Christ in you, that God is on the inside of you at all times, and you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that you have every type of blessing and you know, divine attribute that you would ever need right now. And because of the blood of Jesus, it revolutionizes the way that you approach God and the way that you live the Christian life.
Mm. Well, we just have time for one more question before we wrap up our time today. And Stovall, you described some of the behaviors based on Scripture and based on just what we see in real life that characterize us before we choose the God-first life, like greed, Drunkenness, dishonesty, hatred, rage, selfishness, sexual sin, antagonism, and envy. And then you talk about the wonder of what happens to us when the Spirit of God invades our souls, and you list the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. We're dedicating all of tomorrow's show to the fruit of the Spirit. But talk about the wonder of that transformation in a person before Christ and after Christ.
Yeah, and once again, always, I bring it back to this. You know, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of the believer. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So once again, that free gift from God, he fills us with the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Well, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is get in the right order so that that can be released. And you know, Susie, the beautiful things about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and all of those things, those are just a byproduct of God being first. You know, I believe that most things that people pray for, they don't need to pray for. The fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of people right now praying for peace, praying for joy, praying for patience, praying for goodness, praying for kindness, praying for love, praying for all these things when, man, God's already given us all those things. Those are a byproduct of a Spirit-filled life. It is a byproduct of order, of having God first.
Of abiding in the vine. In fact, you say it's the difference between trying to work up our faith and to work out our faith, right?
Exactly. You know, I always like to say, you know, yes, we're overcomers, and yes, we have challenges and we have difficulties, and there's going to be pain in this life and all those kind of things. But I always like to say, you know, there's rest in the press. When we understand it's all about Jesus and he carries our weight and he carries our burden. And once again, we're there to abide. That's order. We just put in the order, we get aligned with God, and he does the rest.
Indeed. Well, Stovall, I want to thank you for your time today. I pray God restores your voice fully. I know what it's like to do lots of interviews, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie. I hope everyone could hear me okay. My voice really is going out. Mm. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Drink some honey and
Susie,
lemon.
I want to say that yes, and I want to say that website, GodFirstLifeBook.com.
Okay.
People can get some more information and all that good stuff.
Very good. God bless you, sir.
Susie, thanks a lot. God bless.
Good to be with you. Let's hear that song, Restoration, one more time. Just think about what God does in and through you when you put him first.
You give me
pray that if you're going through some kind of anxiety right now, that you get on your knees and you surrender your life and put Him first. I start every morning and I end every day on my knees. Seek Him first and see what He does. Put Him first. See what He does in your life. He loves you. His will for you is your best case scenario. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. You've been listening to Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. And it's not too late to join us on this 40-day journey. It's okay to join right now, myfaithradio.com. Tune in next time. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Evangelist Matt Brown will be in studio. It's going to be a great conversation. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.